This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A busload of 30 Palestinian prisoners released by Israel is welcomed home in the West Bank. Hours earlier, Hamas militants released 8 Israeli hostages. The New York Times reports Israeli officials actually obtained the Hamas battle plan for the October 7th terrorist attack more than a year before it was carried out. CBS's Tom Foti.
The Times says on some level it was dismissed as too difficult for Hamas to carry out. Bilal Saab is a senior fellow with the Middle East Institute.
This was more an intelligence failure when it came to imagination, frankly. The Israelis didn't believe that Hamas would pull off something so spectacular and so successful.
The Times says it's unclear whether Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or other top political leaders saw the document. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Palestinian student Kenan Abdelhamid, who was shot along with two friends over Thanksgiving weekend in Burlington, Vermont, says it wasn't until he went to get help for his friends that he had realized he had been shot. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Abdelhamid's mother, Tamara Tamimi, traveled from Jerusalem to Vermont after the shooting.
And honestly, till now, feel like there's nowhere safe for Palestinians. If he can't be safe here, where on earth are we supposed to put him? Where are we supposed to be? Like, how am I supposed to protect him?
48-year-old Jason Eaton has pleaded not guilty to 3 counts of attempted murder. The shooting is being investigated as a possible hate crime. An investigation is underway after allegations of drinking on the job at a secret saloon on a military base responsible for protecting the homeland. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
At the Colorado headquarters of Northern Command and NORAD, an office nicknamed the Saloon was searched. In a locked workspace with access to classified networks, investigators found a refrigerator with containers of beer as well as hard liquor.
The Environmental Protection Agency proposes requiring water utilities to replace all of their lead pipes. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
If approved, it would force most utilities to replace lead water pipes within 10 years. The EPA says it could cost $45 billion. The drinking water industry estimates it will cost as much as $60 billion.
World leaders at the UN Climate Summit have agreed to create a loss and damage fund to help the countries hardest hit by global warming. CBS's Ben Tracy.
This is something that poor developing nations have been pushing for a long time. And at its core, this is basically a fund set up by wealthy nations to give money to poorer nations to cover the impacts of climate change.
Some OPEC Plus members will cut the oil that they send to the world by more than 2 million barrels per day from January to March to try to boost prices. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg. Left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 19 overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. 33 tomorrow, overcast, about an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever.
And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here.
Oh, man. Happy Friday Eve to you, Crudy. It's been a long week already. Nate, good to see you, our fair audience. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And, you know, there is some really, really big breaking news in our backyard we're going to get to in just a minute. But first and foremost, there's some other eves. Today is the day before some pretty big stuff, Dom. Do you know tomorrow is the day when you can start qualifying to be a spring election candidate in the great state of Wisconsin? And that's like the municipal level. If you want to be a judge or run for municipal, man, we're in the civics game here, are we not? I mean, we make civics sexy and fun, but that's what we do here. So anyways, it is the eve of the day when you can start making yourself a candidate for a spring election. And one of our friends did just that today, Dom. Melissa Agard, the Senate Minority Leader, no longer. She is stepping down from caucus leadership. And we clarified this point. Thank you, boys. And she will remain in the Senate, it would appear, while she runs for Dane County Executive to replace the retiring, air quotes, Joe Parisi. But Parisi is stepping down. Special election will be held in concurrence with the 2024 presidential. So Melissa Agard on the ballot. She's in it to win it. Dom's going to have to win a primary first, I suspect. But she's the first one into the pool. And I got to tell you, she is one of our favorite politicians. She's been doing the work for more than a decade. She was on the county board before she was a state assembly person, before she was a state senator, before she was the minority leader in the state Senate, which means, Dom, they got a little vacancy in the leadership on the Senate side. So it's also caucus picks a new leader Eve here, Dom.
Right. They're not wasting any time. I mean, Agard announced today and they're having this vote tomorrow.
A vote for the new leadership of the caucus. And Dom, people are like, I didn't even know we needed a new leader. Who are the candidates? Well, here they are. My understanding. Early reporting, although there's not going to be late reporting until somebody wins tomorrow. And I would also remind the assembled, there's only like 11 senators, Democrats left in the state. The Republicans have no say here. So what, first one to four wins?
Right. Spin the bottle, Crudy.
Here are the candidates, self-declared candidates for caucus leadership. My understanding, Diane Hesselbein. The senator from Middleton, newly elected senator. She had been an assembly person. Jeff Smith. Now, we've known Jeff for a while. Jeff is a little farther north than us. Eau Claire area, I believe Jeff is from. Senator Smith. And Kelda Royce. One-time gubernatorial candidate. She obviously is a state senator and has served with some distinction here from the Madison area. Somebody's got to be the leader. Tomorrow, when we come on the air, we'll tell you who. And speaking of tomorrow's show, it's Bill Press Eve.
Bill's coming back, man. Bill's been gone a while. We look forward to having Bill join us. What, I think about 5 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to get caught up with Bill Press. And Crudy, we were talking about this. Who's older, Bill Press or President Biden?
I'm not throwing Bill under the bus.
Oh, we're not throwing on the bus. We're just talking. Bill Press is 83 years old. His birthday will be this upcoming April. And of course, we know Joe Biden just turned 81 this month. Bill Press, by over a couple of years.
Does Bill Press want to run for president? Because he is a vital dude. I mean, people age slightly differently, and I'm just telling you, I'd vote for Bill.
Any day, for Biden. For sure. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Bill Press coming on tomorrow. I think we got Melissa Agard on the board.
We're going to have to confirm times, but hopefully the newly declared Dane County executive candidate, Melissa Agard, most importantly, friend of ours. Hopefully she can still join us tomorrow. And Tom, your boy, George Santos, he's on the outs. This might be his last day as a congressman, and you and he will have to come up with a new scheme.
I don't know what it's going to be. I heard a little bit of him today. I mean, this debate on the floor. He's very proud of his conservative values that he's brought. He's tried to fulfill his campaign promises. Thinking about it. So what, dude? Were you on the same planet? How is George Santos even there right now? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Republicans have a very slim majority in the House of Representatives.
Well, my understanding, they have the votes to expel. My understanding hasn't happened yet. But on his way out the door, he wants to take Bowman down, right? The Democratic rep that pulled the fire alarm got convicted on a misdemeanor charge.
Misdemeanor.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me. Santos's final plea, my understanding, Dom, will be to burn a bridge with Bowman on the way out.
I wouldn't doubt if he tries to burn more bridges on the way out. I've seen miscellaneous reporting that he's going to, you know, tell on all of his cohorts what the nasty things they've all been up to. So it should be interesting. But for real, man, I mean, this is the priorities in the House of Representatives. This is what you get when you elect a chaos agent. That's what they do. This is chaos. It serves no purpose. It doesn't bring this country forward. Doesn't solve anything. Hey, this guy's really bad. He's one of the worst we've ever seen. Hell, he's so bad, we're going to kick him out before his conviction because it's so blatantly obvious what a fraud and criminal this guy is.
It's going to become quite obvious to our audience that we are burying the lead here, Dom. There's great big breaking news out of the state of Wisconsin. We'll get to your favorite topic, the deflowering of George Santos from his congressional position. But here is the breaking news. Let's not hold it back. Unions in Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. They're suing to roll back Act 10, or at least many of the applications of Act 10. Right, Dom? I know you're
AP. I saw this. This is, I guess I'm not surprised given the change. You know, the Republicans are saying, oh, this is all because you've got Proto Sayowitz on here now. But this is absolutely big news. The AP reporting, our pal Scott Bauer, the title, Unions in Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. Several unions representing teachers and public workers in Wisconsin filed a lawsuit Thursday attempting to end the state's near total ban on collective bargaining for most public employees. A 2011 law, known as Act 10, has withstood numerous legal challenges over the past dozen years and was the signature legislative achievement of former Republican Governor Scott Walker, Crudy's buddy, who used it to mount a presidential run. You know, if he could face down 100,000 protesters, he could do the same with ISIS, Crudy. Remember, that one didn't last very long. The latest lawsuit is the first since the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to liberal control in August, but it was filed in a county circuit court, unlike other major cases that have gone directly to the Supreme Court since its ideological shift, and will likely take more than a year to make its way up for a final ruling. Now, Crudy, I know you've been critical of some of these cases going directly to the Supreme Court. How are you feeling about this process?
Proper. It's the right way to do it.
The Act 10 law effectively ended collective bargaining for most public unions by allowing them to bargain solely over base wage increases, no greater than inflation. That's not much collective bargaining there, folks. It also disallowed the automatic withdrawal of union dues, required annual recertification votes for unions annual, and forced public workers to pay more for health insurance and retirement benefits. The law's introduction in 2011 spurred massive protests. We remember that. That stretched on for weeks. It made Wisconsin the center of a national fight over union rights, catapulted Walker onto the national stage. That also didn't last long. Sparked an unsuccessful recall campaign and laid the groundwork for his failed 2016 presidential bid.
Wanker!
Adoption led to a dramatic decrease in union membership. across the state. And Crew, that's, I would submit that that was the whole point. You want to kneecap the donors, the labor on the union side as a Republican. That's what they did.
Well, they were also
defund your political opponents.
They were also, quote unquote, the ground forces of the Democratic Party. They were often forefront in knocking doors once upon a time. A little bit more from Scott Bauer at the AP. Breaking news in Wisconsin. Unions soon overturn Act 10. This lawsuit, back to the text, filed by the teachers and other public workers on Thursday, alleges that Act 10's exemption of some police, firefighters, and other public safety workers from the bargaining restrictions violates the Wisconsin Constitution's equal protection guarantee. It would seem that might be a meritorious reason, Dom. The complaint notes that those exempted from the restrictions endorsed Walker in 2010 gubernatorial election, while those subject to the restrictions did not. Almost like he played politics, Dom.
Yeah, weird.
A similar argument was made in a federal lawsuit alleging that Act 10 violated the equal protection guarantee in the U.S. Constitution, but a federal appeals court in 2013 said the state was free to draw a line between public safety and other unions, and the following year again ruled that the law was constitutional, that again under federal law. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2014 also upheld the law as constitutional, rejecting a lawsuit brought by teachers and the Milwaukee public workers. The case raised different arguments than the current lawsuit. And in 2019, a federal judge rejected a lawsuit brought by two arms of the International Union of Operating Engineers that argued the law mandate violates free speech and free association under the First Amendment. The Wisconsin court should follow the lead of the Missouri Supreme Court, which struck down a law resembling Act 10 in 2021, based on similar arguments, union attorney Jacob Carabel said in a written statement, if the case reaches the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's unclear who would actually hear it. Justice Protasiewicz this year tilted control of the court to a 4-3 in favor of the liberals. Well, we know that part, Dom. We'll come back and talk more about this, but perhaps recusal's necessary. I mean, didn't Hagedorn draft Act 10?
He sure did, man. Yeah, some interesting issues going to be brought once this case eventually makes its way through.
Which side are you on, Tom?
Oh, bring it back, man. Come on. It's not collective bargaining if you can only bargain on base wage up to inflation. That's not bargaining.
More Devil's Advocates.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your calls always welcome. Hell, they're encouraged at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, before we get into full-fledged Walker bashing, I want to acknowledge some nice people. Sent us, you know, sort of a text message, old school. A written, handwritten letter.
They still make those?
They do. Occasionally. Occasionally we get nice correspondence. I'd like to share this one. Hey, Crudy, Dom, sending you my bumper sticker I put on my little Toyota Yaris. Had it on my car when Walker, and then the Walker is crossed out, and then it says Wanker. Ran for governor the second time. Received many middle fingers outside of Madison, but loved every moment. Just sending this to make you guys smile and laugh. Oh, I smiled broadly, and I laughed a little bit. He also pointed out, and I want to acknowledge this part as well. I was at the Johnny's on the lake in Beaver Dam. Remember that Trumpster bar we did a couple of parties at?
Oh, right. Yeah,
so anyways, yep. Ross informs me he was at that party. And he said, I'm the guy who gave you $400 cash in an envelope with the plea. You have to turn this around. I think he meant you, Dom. Your bar tab was getting exquisite. Anyways, here's what he said. Wow, did you guys ever. So proud of the both of you guys. I listen almost every day. Well, that's my problem. Almost every day, Ross?
Almost? Come on, man.
If anybody's asking, you tell them 2 hours every day. I listen almost every day. Thanks for what you do every day. Our best, Ross and Mary. Thank you, Ross and Mary.
Thank you. Nice.
On many different levels. But I have posted that bumper sticker. I mean, he removed it from the bumper, and then he very carefully put wax paper on it, and then paper clips, and then put it in a vanilla envelope, and then mailed it to the greatest radio show host ever, us. And then I just put it up on Facebook so you could also enjoy what this bumper sticker said. And I'm going to read it to the people. I've posted it, you know, sort of this way, vertically instead of horizontally, just to piss you off.
No, because you don't know how to turn it, you know.
I didn't. Like, I was trying to do something. It's Scott Walker on the left. And it says, does this ass look my car? Make my car look big? Does this ass make my car look big?
Fantastic.
Remember what was on the old studio doors on University Avenue? Scott Walker worships Satan. We moved that one around. I also was very careful on the peel on that one, man. I traveled with that one. And then
they don't come off. Some of those bumper stickers will take the paint off your car. So the fact that he was able to very gently and gingerly get that off and so carefully send it, fantastic.
Remember when somebody made us bumper stickers at the old Resistance Radio? Yeah. And it said Trump on there, and then it's like dumb Trump or something. And I had one on the shiny red midlife crisis, that bumper sticker, and we went to a Trump rally with an anti-Trump bumper sticker on my car. And I peeled that one off in real time before we went inside. Did I not? I was a little concerned about the midlife crisis. I don't fear for you know, my personal safety, but certainly for my car.
Getting keyed up. Yeah, no doubt.
I don't even have that car anymore. Now I miss that car. But you know who I don't miss? The former gubernator, Scotty Wanker. And last night, maybe earlier today, Dom, he had weighed in on the whole Satan tree issue. Because, of course, he did. What's next? A Hamas-inspired menorah to celebrate Chanukah? Scott Walker. And there's more here. These people are nuts. No one should visit this museum until everyone who is responsible for the satanic tree is fired. From a private museum. Anyways, Scott Walker's posting of the WSAU.com Eschwabenon's National Railroad Museum faces backlash due to Satanic Temple Christmas tree. I bet he only posted that because he's probably quoted in the article. I didn't bother reading it. I figured as one
who occasionally puts out some bad analogies, let me just say this. The Hamas-inspired menorah to celebrate Hanukkah. Okay. And as the non-believer, I think I have to point this out to everybody. You know, Hamas is a terrorist group of Palestinians, right? And Israel, you know, full of Jews. These are people. These are people that bleed red, that breathe air. These are amongst us. They're our peers in humanity. See what I'm saying? A Christmas tree, a pagan symbol of, you know, Christmas now, but, you know, taken over by the religious to bring them into the fold back in the day, is about, you know, gods and myth and all those kinds of things. It's not a fair comparison.
Come on, Scott K is a PK. He's a preacher's kid.
People, not spirits and ethereal and this thing in the sky and faith and belief and things that I contend do not exist. People exist. This is not a Hamas-inspired menorah. Is nothing like a satanic Christmas tree. Those are not even close to being the same thing at all, ever.
So I felt the need to respond. It was on Facebook, and somehow these postings from Walker find themselves in my feed constantly. So I responded, and I wrote, Molotov, wanker. Remember when he sent a Jewish greeting to the people of Wisconsin, signed Molotov, like the cocktail you throw,
fill with gasoline and throw and start fires with? Yeah, a Molotov cocktail. Yes, I know what that is.
Does Walker draw a distinction? I don't know if he does. That Venn diagram, I don't think he's I don't think he quite understands how that works. So anyways, felt a little need to just point out the wanker is on the wrong side of every portion of history, is he not?
Yeah, but if there is a little sniff of flavor, just an inkling, an inch, a tad of cultural war that you can get in and try to ply out and push on people, Scott Walker will get his itchy little fingers all over it. That's what he does, man. He trolls looking for these very specific kinds of issues that he thinks are going to what? Royal the people. Come on. He is the leader of the young,
Adolf's Foundation?
Young America's Foundation. He's responsible for inspiring the youth, the next generation of great conservative thinkers following the lead of Scott Walker.
If this lawsuit
that's what he does.
Were to prevail, Dom, that we've reported the breaking news in the state of Wisconsin, 7 unions suing to overturn Act 10. If Act 10 were rolled back, would there be any reason Scott Walker was ever governor? I mean, if you roll back the bad acts, what's got left to work with?
Well, the bad acts, I mean, come on, man. He can always, you know, rest his laurels on Foxconn.
Well, that was quite a success, wasn't it? Can't go ride the rail.
Mining? I mean, I don't know. His
greatest success will be killing the high-speed rail and sticking the state of Wisconsin taxpayers with the bill to pay for the train cars anyways, which was more than the maintenance cost was going to be on a $1 billion infrastructure investment.
And rejecting the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, that's indefensible.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
More devils.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforstatesport.org.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 19 overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. 33 tomorrow, overcast. About an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. We'll air some grievances tomorrow. But today, Don, today we got some big breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. A number of unions have filed a lawsuit seeking to effectively overturn Act 10. And the AP broke this story, Scott Bauer. And there's more to this, Don, because if this case does make it all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we might have some recusal issues on our hand. Justice Janet Protasiewicz, whose win this year tilted the majority of the court 4-3 in favor of liberals, said during the campaign that she believes Act 10 is unconstitutional. Oh, geez, Dom, she's prejudged. She'll have to recuse, right? She has told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that she would consider recusing herself from any case challenging the law. Protasiewicz participated in protest against the law and signed the petition to recall Walker. So it would take a lot of ethical purity to feel like those simple things merited her recusal. But if one wanted to be beyond reproach, that would be something to consider. But what about Justice Brian Hagedorn?
That's a great question, Michael.
The guy that actually helped draft the Act 10, the guy that wrote the Act 10. Now, he's on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He would surely recuse, would he not? Let's see what he had to say to Scott Bauer, or at least let's see what Scott's reporting tells us. Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn was Walker's chief legal counsel and had a role in drafting the Act 10 law. But during his successful run for the court in 2015, Hagedorn would not promise to recuse himself if the case challenging Act 10 came before the court. Well, I guess Protasiewicz hasn't made any promises either, right, Dom? If the latest lawsuit in Wisconsin is successful, all public sector workers who lost their collective bargaining power would have it restored. Be like magic, Dom. They would be treated the same as the police, the firefighters, and other public safety unions who remain exempt. You know, the Walker and Dorsey's.
You know, come on.
Which is the very issue that this is being sued under, Wisconsin's constitution, because it's already gone up the federal flagpole. And under federal law, apparently this is hunky-dory. But under Wisconsin law, this would not be equal treatment under the law, and we have a differing constitution. Here's a quote. The end of Act 10 would mean that we would have a real say again in our retirement plans, healthcare, and time off without the threat of loss of our union every year, said Wayne Rasmussen, who works for the Racine Unified School District. Rasmussen is one of three individuals named in the lawsuit, along with the unions. He is vice president of the Service Employees International Union of Wisconsin, SEIU, which represents healthcare workers and others. Republican State Senator Dirty Dewey, hard for me to say, Dewey Strobel, Dirty Dewey, reacted to the lawsuit with a social media post accusing Democrats of fighting to take our state backwards.
Is that what it is? Well, or is it, you know, equal access to the same rules, man? The police and the firefighters, the ones that voted for Scott Walker, they have a different union, a different collective bargaining rules that they have to live by than what? Than the teachers? How is that? How is that equitable, Dewey?
Left-wing activists are engaging in more lawfare because they expect the new liberal activist majority to legislate from the bench, Strobel said. You can't even legislate from the chamber, Strobel. Anyways, my personal opinions aside, let me continue. Democratic Governor Tony Evers' administration was named as a defendant in the lawsuit since it is charged with implementing the law. But Evers opposed Act 10 at the time when he was the state education secretary, and he also signed the Walker recall petition. Well, I don't expect him to recuse from governorship.
You know, come on. Spokespersons for Evers and the State Department of Justice, which is charged with defending the state in the lawsuit, did not return an email and text seeking comment. Crudy, again, Scott Bauer at the AP, big news here today. Unions of Wisconsin sue to reverse collective bargaining restrictions on teachers and others. Or what it should say is they sue to get the same
collective
bargaining, right, that the police and firefighters do. There's a lot of ways to look at this. While I appreciate Justice Protasiewicz's thoughts that she may recuse herself, and if Hagedorn didn't commit to it, he wouldn't commit to it when he was elected, okay, he wrote the law. Oh, okay, fair enough. But I think that's got more bias into it, because what are you going to say? Yes, the law that I helped craft is unconstitutional. Well, who's going to say that? Probably not Hagedorn. But if you're going to tell me that because as a sitting judge at the time and not a justice at the Wisconsin Supreme Court, someone who signed a lawful and legal recall petition, someone who engaged in First Amendment activity against this, what I would consider unconstitutional, unfair collective bargaining laws for very specific public unions, to engage in their constitutional rights to do that doesn't necessarily mean that she would vote one way or the other. Certainly, I don't think it should preclude her or should force her to recuse because she engaged in constitutional activities.
Dominic, so, a thoughtful texter, Wes from Middleton, questions. The nurses at UW Hospital are wondering why they didn't make the cut and get to keep their union. Are they not also important for health and public safety in the state? Well, yeah. Let's face facts, Wes. It was never about health and public safety. It was about who endorsed or who did Scott Walker perceive to be his enemy. That's the pure math, right? Scotty Fitzgerald's dad was the head of the state patrol. They were exempted. What do you know? And they endorsed his ass. And everybody else, you know, who didn't endorse, well, they got the whip. That's the way Scott Walker played politics. And I hope, Dom, you know, it's long time coming, but I hope that is exactly why this is upheld as unconstitutional. Because had he treated them all the same, had he also stripped those rights from cops and firefighters, well, he might have a valid and legal law that upheld forever because it's already been up the federal flagpole. But if the Wisconsin Constitution says you can't treat people differently under law, well, I think he's got a real problem here. he or those like Dewey Strobel that would support, you know, keeping Wisconsin from going backwards back to when public sector employees had rights.
Backwards.
You know, because the other thing they're trying to do is take us back when women had the right to, you know, control their old bodies through abortion, you know, exactly. The Roe v. Wade days.
These are policies that are technically liberal, progressive. They've moved the country forward. Unions have helped the working people in this country. No, it wasn't always the case. And, it, you know, if you look at what the former president, Donald Trump, and some of the plans that he is rolling out to try to, you know, replace all these civil service workers, you know, get their whole crew in there. I mean, I don't think we want a government where everybody working in the system will be subject to what? Being fired every 2 or 4 years because there might be a political change at the top that does not bode well for institutional knowledge, for all sorts of reasons. And if you start putting, you know, cronies in, it's going to really literally become the thing that they are so concerned about it becoming, this deep state and bureaucratic, whatever. I mean, this is not, I mean, Scott Walker did this and Donald Trump is considering this. If he gets in, he's pretty much said he's going to try to do these kinds of things to get rid of these workers, to get rid of the vermin that, you know, weave themselves into our system. This is symbolic. This is the same. This is what the Republicans have been doing for a long time.
844-967-2789. Another texter from the 608 points out, getting rid of the union is why the Department of Corrections is in the predicament they're in now. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're down like 40% of their staff. But, you know, prison guards don't want to go to work if they don't have any control over their workplace or their ability to get raises. It's almost like that's a bad job suddenly.
It's a raise. You can negotiate for your raise up to the amount of inflation. Thank you very much.
Here's more from the texter. Remember, Wanker wanted to make the prison system so bad that the state would have no option but to sell them to a private corporation.
Yes, that's another great point, Curry. A lot of private prison money.
When he was a state lawmaker, CCA, which was a private prison system, gave a lot of campaign donations directly to Scott Walker. And when you look at the rationale and the reason why the state of Wisconsin has twice the incarceration rate of the state of Minnesota and expends twice as much money incarcerating our citizens as does a nearly equally populated state in Minnesota, why is that? Well, could it have something to do with the fact that Scott Walker was the receptacle of private prison money? And he wrote a lot of the truth and sentencing laws. And he was that backbencher Republican legislature that pushed it through and pushed it through and pushed it through. And what was his cause? Keep people in prison for longer. That was his cause. More inmates for longer periods of time. And of course, once he became the governor, well, then his thing was, and then take away all the prison guards' right to collectively bargain over their workforce environment. Because, you know, who wants to work in a prison and have some control over the workforce environment they might find themselves in? I'm sure there's nothing but nice people in there, Dom.
Right.
A few of your friends. I've been to jail, but prison's a whole different standard. That's a whole different thing. I guess we do know that one lady that went.
One time. Again, the lawsuit filed by the teachers alleges the Act 10's exemption of some police, firefighters, and other public safety workers from the bargaining restrictions violates the Wisconsin Constitution's equal protection guarantee.
There you have it. 844-967-2789. Does this matter? I mean, I know we got a lot of Wisconsin state employees that still listen to this show, Dom. A lot of them got off work about 45 minutes ago. So if you're out there and you have a strong opinion one way or the other, Act 10, like to hear from you, 844-967-2789. I thought we'd moved on from this, but I could certainly see the rationale and the reason for revisiting it. I think these rights should be restored. We've seen a huge upswing in the population, the Americans and Wisconsinites. You know what? We're starting to realize, hey, unions are good for workers. Even if you're not in a union, don't resent the next guy for wanting to collectively bargain.
And we can look specifically at the most recent strikes at the big three automakers. And even after those strikes were settled, some of the foreign automakers announced miraculously, oh, we're going to give some raises out, big raises. Well, why do you think that happened? Because there's upward pressure from the unions. Crudy, Scott Bauer references a piece also from the AP talking about the Missouri court. So this is back in 2021. The Missouri Supreme Court on Tuesday struck down a 2018 state law that could have made it harder for some public union sectors to organize and collect dues, overturning a past priority of the Republican-led legislature, again, in Missouri. The high court said the law violated equal protection rights guaranteed by the Missouri Constitution by carving out public safety unions, such as those for police and firefighters, from the new restrictions imposed on unions for teachers and other public employees. The court said the entire law had to be invalidated because the exemptions were woven throughout it. There is no rational basis for protecting public safety employees from most, if not all, of the new provisions, Judge Mary Russell wrote in, for the majority in a 5-2 decision. And if we have a similar constitution, then I'm very hopeful.
You know, Dom, there is a piece at the Capital Times right now. The headline, Life in Lockdown, Why Wisconsin Prison Conditions Are Called Torture. Well, I would look back and say, how did they get that way? How did they devolve to this place? Overpopulation, understaffed, no investment. Well, Scott Walker never even pardoned anyone, right? No pardons. In his entire 8 years of governor, he never pardoned anyone. Tony Evers, 5 years, over 1,100 pardons. Now, God forbid anyone ever commit another crime in their life, get caught jaywalking, some Republican will make an anti-Tony Evers campaign ad. You know how
they'll do it. They're going to do it anyway, regardless if none of those 1,100 people reoffend.
Scott Walker, a good Christian, offering zero pardons as the governor.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Mad Radio 92.7.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, ironically, this piece dropped today. Breaking news in Wisconsin, according to the Associated Press, seven unions have sued to try and overturn, effectively, Act 10. And at the Capital Times here in Madison, there is an article posted, Life in Lockdown, Why Wisconsin Prison Conditions Are Called Torture. Well, it stems, I would suggest, from Act 10. But let's get some of this out there before we run out of time for this hour, Dom. The stench is the first thing that hits a person entering a general population cell block at the Green Bay Correctional Institute. It's the odor of hundreds of men on three-tier levels who shower once or twice a week at most, and not always after they've been working out at recreation. It's the reek of men sitting on the toilet, using the bathroom in open air cells, or making makeshift contraceptions to cook junk food brought at the prison canteen. The walls around them are literally rotting and rusted. Just look up and see the rust and stains on the wall from the outside. Former inmate Larry Johnson told a group of fellow protesters outside the Green Bay Correctional in early November, imagine what's on the inside. Bed linens on which unbathed men sleep add to the foul odor in each cell. All of this combines to create a stench that is its own physical dimension. A person's skin becomes drenched with it. When you walk through the doors, there's a stench, said Bobby Ayala, I believe, who first entered Green Bay Correctional as a teenager. There's a dank smell that you have on your body from the time you are there. The stench lingers physically and emotionally forever, the former inmate said. No governor or legislature has been able to improve conditions at the aging facility, much less put a lasting dent in Wisconsin's prison population. During COVID-19, the state experienced a major reduction in inmate population, which coincided with a near shutdown of court activity, only to have it snap back to regular numbers in 2023. And Governor Tony Evers pledged during his 2018 campaign to reduce inmate numbers, yet continues to publicly defer to the judgment of those leading the Department of Corrections rather than force change himself. The department has continued to oversee a culture of mass incarceration that hit Wisconsin in the late 1990s and never let go. Well, thanks to Scott Walker.
Crudy, it is a culture that transcends political parties, Department of Corrections secretaries, prison reform organizations, and the goals of anyone sitting in the governor's office. Its hold remains even as conditions at the century-old prisons like Waupun and Green Bay reportedly include birds, bats, mice, and insects sharing space in people's cells. Inmates allegedly being told not to worry about their heart conditions because defibrillators will save them if they suffer cardiac arrest. And men, according to their families and other advocates, choosing suicide. Suicide over the mental strain of lockdown conditions and solitary confinement. When those families showed up at the Department of Corrections headquarters in Madison to press for an end to lockdowns and other relief, staff members did not come out of their offices. A departmental spokesman told the Cap Times that the extra restrictions on inmate movement outside their cells, which have been going on at least since March, has no end date.
So people effectively, the whole prisons are in solitary confinements, or people are trapped in their cells 23 hours a day, approximately, for lack of staff. But please continue.
People advocating for prison reform say their cause is about more than improved living conditions. In their rallies and messages to state leaders, they're calling on the people who run the correctional system to reflect on Wisconsin's addiction to incarceration and to treat inmates as human beings. But many are discouraged by the response so far. While standing in the lobby of the DOC headquarters during a protest, one woman turned to a Cap Times reporter and said, "They're probably all hiding under their desks." Suicide was met with silence, a daughter says. Waupun killed my dad, said Megan Kolb, a daughter of Dean Henry Hoffman, who died by suicide in solitary confinement at Waupun in June. Kolb was among those speaking publicly and protesting in front of the Department of Corrections headquarters in Madison on November 15th. The protest was organized by Wisdom Wisconsin, a grassroots organization committed to reducing mass incarceration and fighting for the well-being of incarcerated people. Several speakers addressed a crowd for a few dozen on the lawn outside the DOC building before going into the lobby and demanding to speak with Department Secretary Kevin Carr. Kolb said her father had a lifelong history of mental health challenges, including bipolar disorder. She said his issues were documented well enough that it seemed unacceptable DOC would send him to a maximum security prison like Waupun rather than a mental health facility. Hoffman ended his life in June while in segregation in the third month of lockdown conditions at Waupun. But as Kolb pointed out, no one knew the extent of the lockdown conditions at that time. It wasn't until August when a news article appeared in the New York Times detailing conditions at Waupun that the outside world knew about the plight of the inmates. It wasn't as if the Department of Corrections was providing information, Kolb said. Quote, so on June 29th, we all got a call. They found my dad deceased in his cell, she told the Cap Times. That was through my mom. We never even got a call from DOC. We just talked to a medical examiner and the detective at the time. It was not until August when Times Fellowship reporter Mario Corin's article came out that we found out about the true issues at Waupun and how bad it was there. We have heard nothing since June from the DOC about my father's death. They never said anything. Kolb tried to speak with Carr and other DOC representatives when the rally spilled inside the lobby to the agency's headquarters. No one came out of their offices to acknowledge her. Kolb said that Hoffman, her father, had been in segregation for 9 days even after he told correctional staff he might end his life. My father cried out that he was suicidal and he was ignored, Kolb told those in attendance using a megaphone as she spoke. After months of being ignored and being denied the help he so desperately needed, my dad took his own life. Waupun killed my dad due to their neglect. I am here today to fight in his honor. Since Hoffman's death, two more inmates have died.
Dom, there's more to this article at the Cap Times. We'll publish it at the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. But these actions are not without consequence, and they do ripple through our society. And you can say, well, those are prison inmates, supposed to be tough in there. Well, not inhumanely tough. And a lot of these people do end up back in our society. Do we want hardened criminals with no chance of reintegrating because of what they've been through in that prison? Or, you know, do we maybe want to have a fighting chance because we can't lock them all up forever like Scott Walker would have us? Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show will take your calls in a happier, happy hour, the Friday Eve edition. A lot of big stuff happening tomorrow. But Dom's going to be excited because we got some George Santos sound today before he gets expelled from the Congress. And if he could take a Democratic rep with him on his way out the door, Dom, you know damn well he will. Rep,
he'll do it to anybody. Anyone he can drag down with him, I guarantee you he will try.
Happier, happy hour. George Santos will burn it down.
We're going to deal with collective bargaining for all public employee unions.
Right.
Because you divide and conquer.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma cost to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets. They need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. You don't know my garden.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.